turn in our Bibles this morning to 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. We've been in this chapter now a couple of weeks, looking at Elijah under the juniper tree. And this morning I anticipate completing the chapter and then moving on after I get back. But let's stand out of respect for the Word of God as we read. We'll begin in verse number 13. God says that, "And it was so, when Elijah heard it," that was a small still voice that he heard, "when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be thy prophet, to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." Father, we're grateful for your word and grateful that you gave us this account from the life of Elijah. Now, as we consider a few simple thoughts this morning, we ask your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As we have seen Elijah here in this chapter, following the great victory that took place on Mount Carmel, we find him discouraged and depressed. We find him despondent, ready to give up and quit. In fact, he had asked God to just simply take his life down there under the juniper tree. Of course, that was not God's plan for him. And we have to at least appreciate the fact that he was allowing God to dictate the length of his life. We live in a culture anymore today where the call is to die with dignity, they say. How can a death be dignified if it's out of the will of God? Elijah wanted to die, and yet he would not take his own life. I believe Elijah was a man who believed in the right to life from conception till natural death. But here he is under the tree, discouraged. It seems as if his ministry or his service for God is done. It seems as if there's nothing more he can accomplish. He's feeling like a total failure in all that he had done. In his mind, he's thinking, I've given it everything I've had to try to bring Israel back to God. Even to Mount Carmel, where we killed all the prophets of Baal and removed all the false prophets from the land. He says, I've done everything I could possibly do, and it didn't do me any good. And it didn't do Israel any good. And it didn't do those people any good. At this point in his life, Elijah was probably feeling like a failure. Probably feeling, I just can't seem to do anything or get anything accomplished for God. Sometimes we're there too, aren't we, if we're honest? As we've tried to serve God and we've made sacrifices with our time and our talents and our tithes unto the Lord, and it seems like we're just not getting ahead. In fact, it seems like the harder we try to move forward, the further backward we seem to be going in our relationship with God and for the effectiveness of our service. And when these moments of despondency come into our life and discouragement and, yes, perhaps even depression, it's interesting if you like to read old books, which I like to do, Christians never talked about being depressed. They said, I had melancholy. What they were saying is the same thing we would say today, that I am depressed. And that's where Elijah was here under the juniper tree, and that's where oftentimes we find ourselves
having a pity party like Elijah was under the juniper tree. Now, we've talked about a lot of things here in this chapter. This morning, I'd like to just consider the final thought. That was, what was God's will for him at that point in his life? He had done a lot already. He had served God faithfully. He had stood for the truth, even though he stood all alone. We read that here again this morning, that he said, I only am left. He had no friends, no associates, no co-workers, standing all alone, one man against a country. And we think we have it bad when we're in the workplace with a dozen, two dozen, three dozen people, and we seem like we're all alone. This was one man against a whole nation, and he stood strongly, and he stood loudly, and everyone knew who Elijah was, and everyone knew what Elijah stood for, and everyone knew the message of God for them through this one man. We cannot discount or discredit what Elijah had done in his past just because we find him discouraged under the juniper tree. But what was God's will for him from this point moving forward? When he thinks it's done, my life is over, I'm of no value, I'm of no use. We've won great victories, but nothing has resulted from it. What did God want from him now? I have four simple things. The first thing that God is telling Elijah, we find in verses 15 and 16, as he tells him to go and anoint several different people. And what I gather from this, what God is saying to him is, don't quit. It's not time to quit, Elijah. Even though you seem like a failure, and even though you're discouraged, and even though you don't see any results taking place in all the land or anywhere in the land, it's not time to quit, Elijah. The need is even greater than it was before. If the nation had turned, the need would be far less. But the nation hadn't turned. The nation still needs revival. So don't quit. Don't give up. Even though you don't feel like it, and even though you don't feel capable, and even though you just feel like a failure, stick to it. Stay with it. Even though no one's joined you, even though no one is helping you, don't quit. Stick with it. Don't quit. As we look around our nation today, it's easy to get discouraged as Christians. As we look around our cities and our communities, and we see the sin, and we watch the news, and see the things that are going out there with the drugs and robberies and murders and all that's going on, and we think, man, this world's in a terrible place. And I've been trying to serve God, and I've been trying to make a difference where God has placed me, and I just don't seem to be making any headway. God says, don't quit, don't give up, don't throw in the towel. They need you more now than ever. There's so few out there that are standing. And though you may seem like you're all alone in the family or the workplace or in the neighborhood, God says, don't quit. They're still lost. They still need a Savior. They still need the message from God. They need help for their sin. They need counsel for their families. They need advice for what to do next in their lives. Don't quit. Don't give up. Just because you're discouraged, God says, don't quit. He says, stay at it. There's still work to do. If you work in a wicked environment, and you're the only Christian there, or if you are in a family that God has placed you in, and you are the only saved individual in that family, don't quit. How will they ever get saved if you don't tell them that Jesus died for their sin, that he was buried for 3 days, but that third day he gloriously arose from the dead, and that he spent 40 days with the disciples after that, teaching them the Word of God. And on that 40th day, they watched as he ascended in a cloud, and they stood there watching. I wonder what was going through their mind. Are they expecting him to come back down in that same cloud? Is it disbelief that kept them looking up? But God had to send at least one angel or a couple of angels behind him and said, what are you guys doing? What's wrong with you? Why do you keep gazing up into the sky? The same Jesus will come back just the way he left. But you got work to do until that day arrives. Who's going to tell them that message? We're coming up on Resurrection Sunday here at the end of March. The world calls it Easter. The Bible calls it Resurrection. Who's going to tell them what that's all about? They're going to think it's all about cute little bunnies. Unless you'll tell them it's not about the bunnies. It's about a Savior who rose from the dead and conquered death and offers eternal life to all who will receive Him by faith. Because there's nothing we can do. He died on the cross. There's no hope of heaven outside of Christ. Who'll tell them if we give up? Who'll share the gospel if we quit? Where will the light shine if we put ours under a basket or under a bushel? Don't quit. It gets discouraging standing alone. It's easy to feel defeated when you don't see any progress. It's easy to become despondent when you work and work and work and it doesn't seem as if there's any effect. I'm trying to remember who I was talking to just this past week, and you're probably sitting in the room and I just cannot remember who I was talking to. But when I was in Bible college, there was a friend there. My last 2 years of Bible college, I helped out in a smaller church. The pastor had called and said, can you send someone over to help with the Sunday school and with a few other areas he had in mind? And so I got to go over and help in that small church. But when I got there, there was a fellow there that wanted to learn how to win souls to Christ. And so we went out knocking on doors. And for 2 years, once a week, we'd go out and knock on doors for a couple hours. And we covered every house in that area where that church was. We didn't see a single person from knocking on those doors in our church building more than a couple of times. We had a few first-time visitors, and that was it. It's easy to quit. It's easy to give up. We didn't see the results. But because it was close to the college, and I tried to go to as many alumni meetings as I could, and once a year they'll have an alumni meeting at the college, that I would go then on that weekend to that same church. And about 3 or 4 years after I had left and was living back up in Michigan, went to school there in Massillon, Ohio. But about 3 or 4 years later, I was up in Michigan. We went back to the church, and here's a man in the church and his wife. And they came up to me after church and said, do you remember me? I said, I don't have a clue who you are. I'm sorry. He says, well, you and another fella knocked on my door, and we didn't give you the time of day. But we wound up later getting saved, and here we are in church, and he wound up becoming a deacon in that church. Now, I didn't see the results, and I would have never known if I hadn't kept up a little bit with that church. But what we really did notice, even though we didn't see people whose doors we knocked on, we saw other people coming in and visiting. You see, it's easy to get defeated and discouraged because we don't see results. But the results aren't up to us. That's not our problem. It's a matter of faithfulness. Will you do what God has told you to do? Elijah's sitting here under the juniper bush saying, God, I know what you've told me to do. And guess what? I quit. I'm not doing it anymore, is what he's saying. And God says, Elijah, there's too much work for you to do to quit. You got to get back up. You got to get going. You got some men you've got to go anoint to different positions, and I need you to do it right now because you're the only one left I can do that with. We give Elijah a hard time because of his depression he's facing here in this chapter. We didn't read the rest of the chapter after where I stopped, but if we would read that, we'd find out that Elijah did pick himself up. And he did go out and do exactly what God told him to do. He went through his time and he got over it. That's what we need to do. That's the first thing I learned here as far as Elijah under the juniper bush. What is God's will for us when we get discouraged? God says, don't quit. Don't quit. The world needs you more now than ever before. A second thing, that we find here is just simply to stay focused. Stay focused. Look what it says in verse 17. It shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. Now Hazael would be anointed king over Syria, Jehu king over Israel. And him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay, who would be anointed the next prophet. What God is telling Elijah here, says, Elijah, you're running from Jezebel and those soldiers that she commands. Says, you're scared for your life. You're afraid that you can't beat them. He says, but Elijah, you're worried about nothing. He says, I already have everything taken care of. It's all going to be resolved in just a little while. You just stay faithful. You don't give up and you don't quit. You just do as you're supposed to do. You continue standing and standing steadfastly for my name because I've already solved the problems you're here crying about. Think about it. Elijah ran because of the death threat given to him by Jezebel. And right here, God is telling him that he has already solved the problem. Elijah's problem was he didn't see God working already behind the scenes. So often we quit when it would take just one more push to get victory. I wrestled in high school, had a lot of success, but I remember one match. I was wrestling one of the top wrestlers in the state. I was just slaughtering them. I was killing them. I couldn't pin them, but I had a huge lead in points. There was no way this kid was ever going to beat me. I think it was 16 seconds left. He pulled an absolute desperation move, and he pinned me just as time was about to expire. I was so mad. I never hit a locker except that day. I was so mad. But one thing that young man, I don't even remember the name anymore, the one thing that young man did that we as Christians need to do is realize that that one last push of effort can bring through the victory. Now, we take it to a higher level because his victory depended entirely on his efforts when he was wrestling me. But our efforts don't depend so much on our effort, do they? Or our success doesn't depend on our efforts. Now, we've got to put effort. We can't just sit back and think, well, God's going to work all this out, and we're going to have a great victory, and I'm not going to raise a finger for it. I'm going to sit back here and twiddle my thumbs. It doesn't work that way. God says we've got to get in the fight. Elijah had to get up and get in the fight. The solution wouldn't have come unless Elijah got back up in the fight. Because it was those that he would anoint to follow those people that were giving him the issues. It took those people he was going to anoint to take care of those people giving him the problem. But God already had it all figured out. Sometimes we just have to trust in the omniscience of God. That's what I'm trying to say. We look back at a problem and we don't see a solution. We don't see any way this is going to work out right. But God's in heaven omnisciently saying, don't worry about that. He says, I'm weaving it all together in the big plan, and before you know it, all those problems will be solved and everything will be fine. So we have to stay focused. See, I think what Elijah's problem was is he lost his focus. He should have been focused on the work God had him to do, but he was focused on the problems that arose from doing the work God gave him to do. We give Peter a hard time over many issues, but probably most for stepping out of the boat onto that sea. Remember, it was stormy. Christ came walking in the middle of the night. They saw him, thought it was a ghost, and Peter said, bid me walk or come to thee on the water. Peter gets out of the boat. Why did he sink? Did he sink because the water can't support the weight of a human being? And if we try to do it in our bathtubs, we're going to go to the bottom every time. I have yet to stand on top of the water while I take a shower. It doesn't work that way. We sink. Is that why Peter? No. Did he sink because Christ was unable to circumvent the natural laws? That's not why he sank. He sank because he lost his focus, isn't it? We all know that. He looked at the problems. He looked at the wind. He looked at the waves. And he got to thinking, what in the world am I doing out here? And down he went. But he reached up to Christ, and Christ solved his problem, didn't he? But that's what is similar going on in Elijah's life here. He lost his focus. He wasn't looking at God. He wasn't looking at what God had him to do. He was looking at the problems. And that'll depress you. That'll get you discouraged. And I think a lot of Christians have difficulty serving God because they stop focusing on the Savior. They lose their focus. They take their eyes off of what God's called them to do, and they begin to look at all the problems in their life, and the problems burden them down and weigh them down so that they're of no earthly value to God. So, as we learn from Elijah under the juniper tree, God's will for him was, first of all, don't quit. Secondly, it was stay focused. Thirdly, he was simply told to invest in the lives of others. Invest in the lives of others. I think this is all wrapped up in verse number 16 when he's told to anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, to be prophet in his room. He was to train his own replacement, invest in his life. It wasn't just as with the kings where he would anoint them with oil, pronounce the decree from God and leave, and those men would figure it out from there. With Elisha, Elijah was to take him under his wings. Elijah was to invest in his life and teach him the things about God that he knew about God and teach him how to serve God as he knew how to serve God. Invest in the lives of others. That's what God's solution, or part of the answer to Elijah's depression and despondency and discouragement under the juniper tree. When we find ourselves depressed and discouraged and despondent, he tells us, God tells us, invest in the lives of others. Find someone that's lost and share Christ and win them to Christ. And don't just leave them there a babe in Christ. But get a Bible study going with them and get some material. I have some great material if you ever want some that I've used in the lives of others. Invest in their lives and train them to be your replacement. Now, you may not be ready to quit like Elijah was, but you may serve side by side. It thrills my heart when Mark is up here leading the singing. Because when I first met Mark, he wasn't walking with the Lord. And we did a one-on-one Bible study. I don't even remember how long we did it. We did it a long time. And he's come so far since I first met him. I'm not ready to quit. God still has ministry for me. And I'm excited about that. But I'm excited about seeing Mark up here being able to lead the singing. And seeing him serving God and bringing those boys with them and trying to teach them and investing in their lives and doing exactly what 2 Peter 2:2 tells us. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The cycle of reproduction. We learn, and praise God, we've got good godly Christian teachers that'll spend time sharing with us the Word of God. And so we learn the Word of God to the point where we can then teach others the Word of God and bring them to the place where they can then pass it on to a third generation teaching them the Word of God. That's God's principle and that's God's practice for the believer. Investing in the lives of others. Now primarily, we need to invest in their lives spiritually. And this is where we have a terrible downfall in churches today. We want to invest in people and we help them financially and we help them teach them a skill or a trade and we help educate them. But we fail to teach them spiritually. It happened to all the mainline denominations 100 years ago in their missions programs. They left off winning souls to Christ and began building hospitals, which are good and important, and building schools, which are good and important, and building colleges, which are good and important, and dealing with social issues, which is good and important. But they left off doing what God wanted them to do and investing their lives spiritually, teaching them about Him and discipling them that they might go and teach others also. So if you're discouraged or despondent, God says, don't quit. Stay focused. Invest in the lives of others. And one last thing here, verse number 18. God says, Elijah, I just heard you say you're all alone. You're the only one left. You're not alone. God says right there, He says to Elijah, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. 7,000 is a pretty big number. If we were to put 7,000 people in this room, we'd have to stack on top of each other. It wouldn't fit. Okay? But if you put it in the context of the nation of Israel, 7,000 is pretty sparse. Far and few between. It's no wonder Elijah felt all alone. But God's assuring him, Elijah, you're not the only one standing. You're not the only one that stayed faithful throughout it all. But Elijah, you're the only one in the forefront. It's not their call in life to stand in front and be my mouthpiece. Elijah, that's your job. Don't grow concerned because they're not doing your job. You just keep doing your job. But Elijah, as you do your job, keep in mind this. They're watching you. They're watching you. So as they watch you, you stay faithful. And so that fourth advice to Elijah as he's under the juniper tree from God is simply continue to live by faith so that those thousands can see how you live and they'll be encouraged. They'll see how you live and they'll stay faithful. They'll see how you live and they'll do what they can and they'll do their call and they'll do my will. But if you fall, how many of those thousands will also fall? If you fall and quit, how many of those also will quit? And so even though we may be discouraged this morning, even though we may be despondent, even though we may feel that what's the use, I don't see anything happening, God says people have their eyes on you. You may not know it, you may not even know who they are, but they're watching. If you fall, they don't have a chance. But if you'll stay true, if you'll stay strong, if you continue to live by faith, they'll see that. They'll be encouraged. They'll be strengthened so that when it's their turn to stand, when it's their time to be used by God, they'll be equipped and they'll be faithful and they'll have you as their example. So where are you this morning? If you've been serving God in His service any length of time, you've been under a juniper tree once or twice probably. We've all been there. God really doesn't rebuke Elijah for being under the juniper tree other than asking him simply, what are you doing here? But God just wanted Elijah to stay in the fight. Don't quit. Stay focused. Invest in others. Live by faith. And that's God's advice for us today too. Should we find ourselves under a juniper tree, the world out there is lost and dying and headed to hell unless we make a difference in somebody's life. Won't you do that for your Savior today? Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, You're so good to us. To help us in our times of need. It's so easy in the culture in which we live to become discouraged in our Christian walk and our Christian service. But Father, may we stay faithful and stay true to You, even though we may be asked to stand alone. And Father, if there be even one individual in the room this morning without Christ, if they were to die this afternoon, they don't have 100% certainty that they'll be in heaven with You. Father, I pray that as we sing this song, Father, they would just simply step out of their seats and come to the front and get my attention and let me know. They want to be 100% sure. Father, we'd be so thrilled to share with them from your word what you say about the matter. And Father, for those of us that are saved, Father, should we desire to make a new commitment, recommit our lives unto thee, Father, may we use this old-fashioned altar all for your glory. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.